You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our listeners out there.
We have a number of questions from listeners today. Our first one comes from Jim in Ohio. Hi, Jim and Bob. I always enjoy your gold charts on 3-2-1 gold. They're usually quite accurate. What are your projections for gold at the present time? Have we seen all the rise you expect and can now look for a correction? Thank you and take care.
Yeah, you pretty well got it nailed. Gold has had a spectacular run. And also of interest, it's been a way outperforming the gold stocks index. But our correction period has already started. But on our work, and I cover the real price of gold, we're in the early stages of a multi-year bull market in real terms for gold. So that means that the gold miners make money because their costs are falling relative to the bullion price, and this then increases production during a very severe recession when the rest of the financial markets are starving for liquidity, because actually what people thought was liquidity was a whole lot of borrowed money. So there you go.
Question from Kathleen. I haven't seen it yet, but I know she'll mention some kind of music. Greetings, Jim and Bob. As a longtime gold bug, I listen carefully to what Dr. Mark Faber, noted Swiss investor, says about gold. Remember Shirley Bassey singing Goldfinger? He's the man with the golden touch, one of the James Bond themes. Well, apparently some people say Mark Faber, he's the man when it comes to understanding gold under various economic conditions. In a recent interview on trading, Dr. Faber suggested it would probably be a good idea to consider slowing accumulating gold and increasing one's gold allocation to 25 to 40% so as to preserve purchasing power. He even admitted he personally entertained the thought of converting 100% to gold. Bob, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I think one has to take a more balanced approach. These portfolio considerations are very personal. And one, you don't want to be in equities if we're going into a dreadful bear market. And there's no point having a, say, 10% just in case we're going into a bear market. And also, the stock bear market could be enough to push down gold stocks for a while. It's happened before. But so anyways, the gold sector got overbought, and we think there could be a good buying opportunity towards year end under severe selling pressures.
Kathleen continues, given these historically overbought markets, would it be better at this time to hold gold but lighten up on silver, platinum, and precious metal miners as they tend to crash as much as the equity markets?
We covered that. There's no point being in something that's going to go down. That's what's going to happen to these things. So,
and Kathleen finishes, Bob, I know you're the man to all of us House Street listeners for your truly insightful commentary over the years. And so are you, Jim. Thank you both.
Oh, what a nice compliment.
Well, very Kathleen's good. Always very nice.
And then she always has a mention of some musical song, some song or something like that.
And we would play those songs if we had the rights to them.
Yes.
Our next question comes from Michael. Hi, Bob and Jim. It seems the markets may have peaked around August 18th in time for an upcoming September decline. Bob, if we have 2000 and 2008 style market crashes, will asset classes perform relatively the same as in the last two crashes?
Oh, yeah. You got a good eye. Yeah. There's just no point being in equities going into a bear market. Not, as I say, as I said, not even a little token position of 10%. Bear market, you don't want to be in it. And also, as I mentioned, the bear market for the stock market could be enough to pull down the price of many gold shares. So one has to watch for the opportunities.
If the S&P and Dow crashes 50% as approximately before, then will the NASDAQ and low-grade bonds again crash 80%, the Russell, emerging markets, and precious metal miners crash in excess of 50%, with Bitcoin down 80%, silver down 35%, and gold down 25%? It seems they've got some targets here.
Yeah, he's got some good targets. And but we point out that silver is the trickster. And in a boom, silver becomes more popular than gold. So the gold-silver ratio does what it does. It goes down. And then with the bust, silver becomes the much lesser item. And the gold-silver ratio heads up, and in panic, when was it? 2000, I guess it was. It got up to 120. Now, there's a whole contingent of silver bugs out there who are convinced that the gold-silver ratio is going back to 16, and they're raving about silver. But the 16 is because in the 1800s, in London was then a financial center, and the Bank of England was sort of supposedly running things, but the gold-silver ratio for a long time was 16. So the silver bugs think this is going to be the case, not so. Whatever it's at, as I said, the last panic got it up to 120, and I think we can go there easily. So beware of silver.
Second question from Michael. After the initial crash in 2000 and 2008, gold rebounded first and kept on going while the rest of the markets only experienced the bear market rally before crashing lower. Will this occur again?
Yeah, should add for in the gold sector, at the bottom of a major bear, typically the seniors will bottom and turn up. Then a while later, a little more confidence. Let's call them the middlers. The middle-sized gold stocks turn up. And then finally, the action gets down to the juniors, and then they move up. But we think that having a position in juniors is very worthwhile, and we do have a list. I think there's 11 juniors in there. Now, these range from junior producer, junior pre-production, and junior exploration stocks. I kind of like exploration. So anybody interested in, they can ask for the list, and we'd be glad to provide it.
And our final question comes from Justin in Berkeley, California. Is there any other Berkeley? There has to be. But that's the one we know about.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob and Jim. Some random chatter about how the Fed will need to introduce yield curve controls to prevent long bond rates from increasing. This is a bit different from quantitative easing. We have a lot of debt coming to maturity and all it needs to be right refinanced. So his question, are all these shenanigans essentially accounting fraud by central banks?
I love that last phrase. Yeah. Yeah, the street really believes that the Federal Reserve can set interest rates at will. And that's through the whole curve from short-term to long-dated treasuries. And history says no bloody way. They cannot do a thing. And here is the main meat of it, is that the short rates, and we can use T-bills, they go up in a boom. So rising short rates is a sign, is a positive sign. And then short rates, such as T-bills, go down. And of course, the Federal Reserve is not setting the trend change. It's just tagging along. So eventually, after the market turns for T-bills, maybe a few months later, then the Fed gets in line and does a big noise about Fed cuts and stuff like that. So it's a fraud. But, and then also here, the, you're seeing headlines and pundits are very confident that the Fed is going to lower rates, like Fed cuts, and that this will be good for the market. All you have to do is look at the last 100 years in New York and then the previous 100 years when London was the financial center. And here's the rule. Short rates go up in the boom, which is good. Long rate or short rates go down in the bust, which is bad. And and the T-bill rate, and the U.S. is now the senior currency, the T-bill rate can go down to zero again. In 1932, it got down to 0.08%. So falling short rates indicates a disaster. And yet the street here, Wall Street, it's all intuitive. They think rates going down will be help the party continue. And it is just dead wrong. So it's sad to see so many high positions people being so wrong.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye. This one from Paul Watson, Greenpeace co-founder. They did all their meetings at Kit's Pub in Kitsilano in Vancouver. That's where Greenpeace started.
I did not know that.
Just over some cold pints of beer. His headline, it doesn't matter what is true, it only matters what people believe is true.
Yeah, isn't that corrupt? Well, the observation is straight, but the use of it is corrupt. So,
well, it seems nowadays it's pretty much true, except on this show.
Very good.
We're not trying to fake people out here. We're trying to look after you and your money. Headline from Zero Hedge. Too expensive and risky. Bed Bath & Beyond explains why it won't operate stores in over-regulated California.
There you go.
Why do you think they're scared of the regulations? Bed Bath & Beyond, they're everywhere else.
Yeah, I know. Except California. Regulations are killers. And they've just said we're not having anything to do with California's idiosyncrasies.
Now, from Zero Hedge, U.S. manufacturing activity unexpectedly soars the highest since 2022.
Yeah, this was the surge that we've been looking for. Up to around mid-year, maybe stretching into August. And then we note that if something's going to go wrong, the disaster will be likely discovered in the fall. So we'll see where we go over the next few months.
Now, from Breitbart, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, flip-flops on oil. He wants more production now to avoid $8 a gallon prices. In Canada, that would be considered a bargain.
Yeah, so a little reality is getting into Governor Newsom, who is, he's just a dreamy liberal, so what can you say?
From the Washington Post, socialism is defeated in Bolivia after two decades of conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, people, the locals have had enough, and that's the way it works.
And from Zero Hedge, your perfunctory reminder that markets are pornographically overvalued.
I've never seen one as sensational as that. And you know, I've collected headlines all the way back to the 1700s. And this one is absolutely brilliant. It's very good. So sensational. I love it. Yeah.
And, pornographically overvalued. Bob, you've been warning that... we're pretty toppy right now, and we're going into the time of year that traditionally you see the major corrections in the market.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is working out very well if you're a financial historian. Yeah.
Bob, your thoughts on British Columbia buying four major ferries from China instead of using Canadian steel and aluminum to build them at home?
Absolute madness. And then the federal government are providing $1 billion to China to pay for these things. So they're paying money so that Chinese workers can build ferries. And there are shipbuilders in Canada that could build them, and particularly in the Vancouver Harbor, there are shipbuilders that have built big ships. So this is a major blunder, and particularly when the feds are paying China to build ferries for British Columbia. I mean, they're just totally bonkers.
And this is at a time China has put major league sanctions against Canada, including tariffs on canola, Canadian beef, and Canadian seafood products.
Jim, one of the things I heard on this story is that the canola that Canada prepares is of a is the finest in the world. So it has a unique sales appeal because it is a very fine canola. And nonetheless, the Chinese are doing a number on us. And then also you have another agricultural problem is in the eastern provinces on dairy products. They have like 250% tariffs on dairy products coming from the States into Canada. And the issue really is Quebec. And so then you've got these marketing boards and everything. So the prices we pay at the retail level are just outrageous. And I think that what's going to happen as a proper reform comes into the system, these marketing boards, and which are designed to protect the least efficient producer, marketing boards are going to go by the wayside. They're just going to be wrapped up and gone. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason why Canadians are called cheeseheads in the U.S., because we stock up on cheese every time we pop across the border.
I thought it was the people in Wisconsin.
Well, the people of Wisconsin are cheeseheads as well, because they make cheese. But Canadians in general, that's one of the most affordable products you can buy and bring across from the U.S. duty-free. Of course, who knows, under new regulations, this could be out of date, you know, in a day.
Yeah.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Jim, good to be with you, and let's look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.